We're starting, okay, let's go back for 1 minute. We're starting on the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, but to understand where we're going, we have to go back to the Mishnah. And what we really have to do is not read the Mishnah itself, but read the way the Chisurim Chasra V'Hachi Katani read the Mishnah. Because remember, the Mishnah had two parts. Okay, the Mishnah itself reads, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Af ha-rotzeh l'hadir et chaveiro she'ochal etzlo, yomar, and then we have like the missing part. So I'll continue from the Chisurim Chasra V'Hachi Katani that I also put on the top here, that if you harotzeh she'ochal chaveiro etzlo chaveiro misarebo midiro, right? He wants his friend to eat over his house and his friend refuses. So he makes a neder, you know, I swear you will, if you don't come, you'll never eat my house again. That's nidre zeruzin hu, right? That's a nidre zeruzin, and that doesn't count. He was obviously just trying to get his friend to come, and therefore he didn't really mean what he said. So, the big question is going to be, two lines from the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, Ibai lehu, plige rabbanan alei de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, olo. Okay, number one question is there a machloket about this? Or does everybody agree that if you say, I swear you can't eat in my house ever, because, you know, if you don't come now to my house, I swear you'll never be able to eat in my house again, or you'll never be able to benefit from me, or whatever it might be, that doesn't count as a neder. Does everyone agree? And furthermore, if you do want to say that they argue, that Chachamim disagree and think that this is a really good neder, Hilchata kavate olo. Who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Chachamim? Or do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Okay? In the end, surprisingly, we are going to get to a psikat halacha, but as you can see on the sheet, it's going to take us a while. Okay? We're going to have four sources, okay? Alternative sources, some in the Mishnah, some in the Braita. Okay, some from our parak, some not, or from our, right, I think it's still our parak. So the question is going to be, what can we learn from these sources that there are differing opinions about this or not? So every time they're going to bring a source, they're going to try to say, oh, from here you see, there's another opinion. Okay? But every time, except for the last one, they're going to basically say, oh no, you can explain this some other way, that it's not a nidre zeruzin like our Mishnah, it's a different kind of situation, and therefore we can't learn from it. Okay, let's start. Tashma, bo ulamad, right? It's like saying, let's start, right? Bo ulamad, come and learn from here. Titznan, it says in a Mishnah, ha'omer l'chavero, konam she'eni nehanelecha, im iatano tel lebincha kor shachitim v'shtei chaviyot shal yayin. Okay. This guy says, I swear you'll never get benefit from me if you don't take for your son a gift that I want to give your son. Okay, he's trying to give the kid's son a gift. He says, I want you to take a kor of chitim, a measure, a big measurement of chita, and two big barrels of wine. So, if he says, I swear you'll never benefit from me if you don't take this gift for your son, harezeh yachol lahatirat nidro shelo al pi chacham. This is a type of neder that can be canceled, not even needing a chacham. Okay, here again we see there's different categories. Ones that need a chacham to be matir, ones that don't need a chacham to be matir. Why? She'achol omar lo, klum amarte ela b'shvil kvodi. The guy can say to him, listen, what were you trying to do in giving my son a gift? You were trying to make me look like a respectable guy, right? You wanted people to say, oh look, this person's giving him all this stuff, he must be an important person. So what does he say? Zehu kvodi. It's more kavod for me to not accept your gift. That makes me look better. It makes me look better if I don't accept your gift. So in the end, what's this saying? That the neder doesn't can basically be canceled, or he doesn't need, let's put it this way, it doesn't need hatara al pi chacham, right? He can basically benefit from the guy who, you know, he made the guy who made the neder against him. Why? Because Tama da Amar Zehu Kvodi. The reason is because he said, I'm basically fulfilling the neder. You're saying you will not get any benefit from me if my son doesn't accept this gift. But what are you basically saying? You won't get any benefit from me if you don't let me make you look good, basically. And he's saying, you're making me look better now because I'm not accepting the gift. So basically, it's not even a case of a neder zeruzin. It's just that there's actually a right of fulfilling of the condition, right? The condition is fulfilled, and therefore the neder doesn't happen anymore. Okay? It doesn't exactly match the words of the Braita because it says, Yachol lahatirat midro. Like it sounds like there is a hatarat midarim. But here they're basically saying, it's like a hatarat midarim because you're basically saying, oh, I'm interpreting that this is my kodo, right? Which means that the condition was fulfilled. How does this relate to our issue? It's only because he said, Zehu kvodi, right? So tam adamar zehu kvodi, that's the reason it works. But if he doesn't say, it's more mechubad for me to, right, to not accept the gift, he doesn't say that. Let's say he just says, I don't want to accept this gift. Not because it's kavod for me, just I'm not interested. Okay? So if that were the case, what would be the halacha, according to the Mishnah here? It would be a good neder, right? The only reason you could do atara is because he says, zehu kvodi. But if he doesn't say zehu kvodi, and we don't have a fulfillment of the condition, then the condition wasn't fulfilled, and the neder is a good neder. What do you see here? This is a classic case of nidre zeirizin. He wanted his friend to accept the gift for his son. So what did he say? I'm going to, you know, if you don't accept the gift, you won't be able to ever benefit from me. That's our classic case of nidre zeirizin. So what do you see here? Nidre zeirizin, right? We have an opinion that says it's good, right? It's a good neder. So here you see the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov about this type of nidre zeirizin, which is like the one in our Mishnah. Okay, so now they say no, not necessarily. Okay, so here let's read it. So Mani I Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov nidre zeirizin have, right? So if who's this like? If it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so this is a classic case of nidre zeirizin, like you said. Ela shmamina. So we must infer from here plige rabbanan alei. Okay, that's what the Gemara assumes right now. Then they say no. Le'olam, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. You could still explain this Mishnah that it follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. Why? Umode, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, b'hai dinadra, habi de'amrale, lo kal ba'ana de'mitanina minach, ve'lo mitaninat minyai. What was the case in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah was a case where he said, if you don't come to my house to eat, I will. Right, you'll never come to my house again. That's not necessarily the same as I want you to accept this gift for my friend, because you can explain for your son. I want you to accept this gift for my son. Why? Because I don't want to be like a dog. I don't know why they specifically use a dog here. That I benefit from you and you don't ever benefit from me, right? You've ever had that? It's like tit for tat, okay? But here he's saying, I've taken many things from you and I insist that you take this gift in lieu of, you know, all the things you've given me. Because I don't want to always feel like I'm the taker and you're always the giver. So basically what he's saying is, this could be seen as a really good neder, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because it's not a nidre zeirizin, because it's a two-way street, basically. There's something going on behind the scenes that we don't realize. Okay, now where he makes this up, we don't really know. But that's what he's saying here. That he's insisting that he accept this gift because the other guy, you know, must have given him something, you know, beforehand. Okay, next source. Tashma. Ha'omer l'chavero. Konam sh'ata nehenet li. Okay, I'm forbidding you to get hana'ah from me. Im I ata noten lebeni kor shachiti v'shtecha v'yashayayin. This is the flip case. You will never benefit from me if you don't give my son a gift. Now, the assumption here, you'll see this after, but the assumption here is that the son is somech al shulchan aviv, meaning the father still supports the son. So anything that goes to the son basically goes to the father. Okay, it's like his own money, basically. So he says, you're forbidden to get benefit from me if you don't give my son a gift. Rabbi Meir Omer, here's a continuation of that source, ad sheitein, that he's forbidden to get benefit from him until he actually gives the gift. The Chachamim Omer, and this is the opinion we're going to focus on, same thing as the previous case, right? It can be matir shelo api chacham. Why? Sheyachol lomar hareini keilu hitkabalti. He can say down the road, what does he really want? He wants to get money, right? He needs money. So he says, you must give my son a gift. Well, really, what does he want? He wants money for himself, and he's low on cash or something. But it could be that as time went on, right, this is what they're saying, you can say later, oh, you know what? I already got the money from somewhere else. I don't need the cash anymore. So therefore, my neder isn't relevant anymore. Okay, my neder was made on the presumption that I needed the money. And that's why I was telling you, you must give my son a gift right now because I need the money. But if he doesn't need the money anymore, let's say he gets the money from some other place, then basically you can cancel the neder very easily. Okay? So, what do we do with this? Again, it's going to be the same inference as we did with the first case. Halav hachi nederhu. But if he doesn't get the money from somewhere else, right? Let's say he never gets the cash that he needs. So then this neder will be a good neder. Everyone agrees with that, right? The neder will be good according to what they said, right? They said it doesn't need hatara because he could say, oh, it's as if I got, right? I already got the money. I don't need it anymore from you. Therefore, you can benefit from me. But it sounds like if he doesn't get the money, right, it's only because if he could say ki'ilu it's kabalti. So, halav hachi nederhu. So again, mane, who is this going to be according to that this neder works? E Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov nidre zeruzin have. If we say it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov when our Mishnah said, if you don't come to my house, if you don't come to my house now to eat, you'll never be allowed to benefit from me. So it's the same type thing. Okay, where he's saying, if you don't give me money, I'll never benefit from you. It's just a way, according to him, right, nidre zeruzin, of encouraging him to actually do it. So, if we say it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it wouldn't be a good neder. So, el alav, it must be that it's Rabbanan upligi. Okay, and therefore we see it must be there's another opinion, and that must be Rabbanan's opinion, and they argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So, this Braita, or Mishnah, I don't remember if it's a Braita or a Mishnah, goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, goes like Chachamim, I mean. Then the Gemara again rejects it. Lo, la'olam, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, umode, Rabbi Elazar behind dinadra. Okay, he agrees in this particular case that it would work, the neder. Why? Dinidra have, that it would be a neder. Mishum da'amarle, here's going to be the flip. Okay, the exact same thing we saw last time. Last time he said, I'm not a dog that I'm going to keep taking from you and you're not going to take from me. Here it's the opposite. Lav malka ana, I'm not a king. De mahanina lecha va'at lo mahane li. Okay, I'm not going to keep giving you things if you don't. This is the real tip for tat, right? In the negative way, I'm not going to keep giving you stuff if you don't give me stuff. So that's why he says to him, I'm going to swear I'm never going to give you anything else if you don't give my son a gift. Okay, because basically he's saying, and then it could be a real neder, because he's really saying I'm sick and tired of giving you so much stuff and you're not giving me anything. You must give me something. Okay, so that way we have a way of reading that neder that it could even work according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in which case, right, both times we saw this neder, we explained that it doesn't necessarily have to be understood in the context of he was just trying to encourage him to do it, because it could be that he was trying to say, right, I need it to be even. Either you keep giving me and I want to be giving you, or I keep giving you and I want you to be giving me. Okay, in which case that would be a real neder, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that wouldn't be in the category of nidre zeruzin. Okay, so we've explained each case now. It doesn't necessarily have to be nidre zeruzin. Okay, case number three. We're slowly getting there because case number four already is going to be the proof. Case number three. Amar le'mar kashisha bereidu Rav Chista l'Rav Ashi. Okay, Mar kashisha, the son of Rav Chista, says to Rav Ashi, Tashma, why don't we learn it from here? Nidre onsin. Okay, here's the continuation in our parak of, remember we saw those categories, Nidre Zeruzin, so far that's the one we've discussed. There's Nidre Havai, there's Nidre Onsin, and Nidre Shkagot. So the Mishnayot, we're going to get to the Nidre Havai one today, start going through and telling us, okay, so what are the details of this one? We saw the details of Zeruzin, then we're going to go to Havai, then I don't remember which comes first, Onsin or Shkagot, but this is a later Mishnah we're going to see soon. Nidre onsin. What's the case of a nidre onsin? Okay, remember, ones is, right, it's like a shogeg par excellence, right? It's totally out of your hands. You had no control over the fact that it didn't work out. So what could be a neder that's onsin? Hidiru chaveiro she'ochalets, though. Okay, his friend said, you, right, kind of like our nidre zeruzin, right? That's what we're going to see. It sounds like it. Okay? Hareini, so hidiru chaveiro she'ochalets, though. He said, my stuff is going to be forbidden to you if you don't come eat in my house. Bechalahu o chala bino. Okay? And then the guy was planning to come, but what happened? He got sick, or his son got sick, right? This is like, you know, you take off from work either because you're sick or your son's sick, right? Your kids are sick. So he got sick, or his kid got sick. Osha kavo nahar, or, right, the river overflowed, okay, and he couldn't get there. We saw this before with the Ein Onus Begitin, right? That he couldn't get across. Right, in Ketubot. So halav hachi. So now what do you see? Halav hachi nederhu. Ah, but if it weren't that his son got sick, right? It's only nidre owns him because the son got sick. But if it wasn't, what would be the case? He was hidiro chaveros shiur chalas, which is exactly the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that he says it's going to be a neder, right? You're going to be forbidden to me if you don't come eat in my house, which makes it seem that what? That would work as a good neder. It only doesn't work here because he was anus. He couldn't get there for circumstances beyond his control. But if he didn't get there because of other circumstances, you know, that were under his control because he just didn't want to come, then the neder would be a good neder, and that would disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So again, they say, Mane, Irav Lezer ben Yaakov, Zerusin Habe. Elalav, it must be Rabbanan Upligi. So now, this is a strange answer, because they basically switch around the case from the way it sounds like in the Mishnah. And they say, actually, the case is a different case. It's not the case that we thought of. And the general Nidre Zerusin case is, okay, maybe I'll write this here, okay? The guy whose house it is, right? The owner of the house. Right? Okay, I'll use easier Lashon than the Lashon the Gemara uses to be a little confused because the Mazmin and the Muzman, it's going to be a little confusing. The owner of the house versus the invitee. Okay? That's right, so we assume who's making the neder? The owner of the house is making the neder because he wants to encourage the guy to come, and that's why it's a Nidre Zerusin. Now we're going to see that wasn't the case here. It was the flip. Okay? Dizmina Adar. Okay, so umi savar, what made you think de'adre mizamna lizmina, that the mazmin, the owner of the house, was the one who made the neder to the zamina, right, the invitee? Okay, what makes you think that that was the guest? To the, you know, you could call him the guest, right? Okay, that's an easier word, the invitee. Okay, lo, it's not the case. It's dizmina adre lemizamna. Okay? The guest made the neder to the owner of the house. The owner of the house was inviting him. You understand why it's a nidre zeruzin only if the owner invites him? Because what was the owner trying to do? To encourage him to come. That's what zeruzin is, right? To try to get him to do what he wants. But this way, it's the opposite. It's the guest is making the neder. So now they're going to go through the case. What happened? The guest says to the guy, "Mizamat li l'sudatech." Okay, we always teach our kids never invite yourself to someone's house, right? But that's basically what he's doing. Are you inviting me to your house for a meal? Amar le im. He said, "Yes, I am." But now, what's the story? He wants to make sure that the guy's really right going to keep his word to invite him. So he says, "Neder ze alecha." Okay, he says, it's unclear among the mefarshim who puts in it. The guest says neder li alecha. Okay, now what does it mean neder li alecha? It could either mean if I don't come to your house, then I'm going to be forbidden to eat all your stuff, right? Or the reverse, if, which makes me probably more sense, because what's he trying to do to make sure, you know, at least one way of reading it is he wants to make sure the invitation will still stand. So he says, if I don't end up at your house, right, because what does he really mean? If I don't end up at your house because you're going to not let me in, then I'm forbidding you to, you know, you'll never get hana'ah from me. Okay? So which way the neder goes, we don't really know. But the main thing is it's the guest making the neder. And then the guy says, right, v'nadar. Okay? And then he makes the neder. And then, v'chalahu osha chalabino osha akavonahar. And then in the end, the guy never shows up because of onus. Okay? So in that case, that's not Nidre Zeruzin. He wasn't trying to encourage anything. The act was done already. The guy already invited him. There was no reason to encourage anything. He was just maybe trying to ensure that the invitation remained. But that's not a Nidre Zeruzin, and therefore this would be a good neder, and therefore it would be a good neder even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay? Even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he wouldn't put this in the category at all of Nidre Zeruzin, so therefore it doesn't teach us anything about our case. Okay. So now, Tashma. Now we're going to finally have our fourth case. So again, we saw three cases which we thought were Nidre Zeruzin, and each time the Gemara explained that it wasn't really a Nidre Zeruzin case. Okay? Or that you could at least explain it possibly that it wasn't. You know, right? It's always when you try to bring a source, if you can't prove for sure, then you don't really have a proof. So since they said there's a possible chance that this is what he meant, it doesn't mean it's in the Jerusalem, therefore it didn't prove anything. Now we get to our final case. Yeter al kein. Okay, now here's an interesting one. This is a braita. It's not in the Mishnah. But lots of times we have braitas. We've seen this a lot where it says, Vitane Allah. Okay? And where we see there's a braita on this Mishnah that explains this Mishnah. Okay? So lots of times you have someone who came and said, oh yeah, and here's a braita on the Mishnah. So here it doesn't use that lashon, but this is what it really means. Because Yeter al kein, in addition to what? In addition to the case Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says in our Mishnah, of this, right, of if you don't come to my house to eat, this will be forbidden upon you. And he said, that's Nidrei Zeiruzin. Yeter al kein, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ha'omer l'chavero, konam she'ani nehaneh lecha, im I atam etareach etzli, b'tochali mi pat chama v'tishtei mi kos chamin, v'hala hikpig kenegdo. Okay, so here's the, what does he say? It will be a krona, right, a neder, that I will not get benefit from you if you don't come to my house and eat some warm bread and drink some hot tea. Okay? And the other guy doesn't, right? Now here it seems to be the guy makes a counter neder. Okay? He says, it'll be forbidden for you on me if I go to your house, right? He basically makes a counter neder. Af elu nidrei zeruzin. This is a little bit reminiscent of the case where each guy said, right, if you pay me more than, right, I won't pay you more than two dinarim, and the guy said, I won't take less than, right? So it's also nidrei zeruzin. But here's the important line. V'lo hodulo chachamim. But chachamim didn't agree with him. Now because, go back to how we started this section. Yeter al kein. Yeter al kein means, in addition to the case of our Mishnah, we have this other case. And lo hodulo chachamim. So the Gemara says, my lo hodulo chachamim. What does it mean? On what case lo hodulo chachamim? Just on this case or also on the case of our Mishnah? So they assume, Lav da'afilu b'kamaita. It must be that they also disagree about the first case, not just about this one. Ushmamina, plige rabbanan alei shmamina. Conclusion is, since it says here, lahodulo chachamim, they didn't agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov about this case, it must be, since this braita is stated about our Mishnah, it must be also the opinion of the braita was lahodulo chachamim about either case. Okay? And therefore, we now learn the Chachamim actually disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov about this. Okay? Now, some of the Mefarshim say that based on this, you can go back to the first two cases and say, well, it must be in the first two cases also, that forget our example about the Kelev and the Melech, and that it must be that this shows also in those cases that they must disagree. Other Mefarshim say, interestingly enough, and this is why I want to bring it up, there's a difference between those cases and this case. What's the difference? Here, what's he asking him to do? He's inviting him in. The case of our Mishnah was inviting him in to eat at his house. And the second case, the second case mentioned in this braita, was that he invited him to eat some warm bread and a cup of tea. That's a little different than a gift of a core of chitim and shtei chaviyot of yayin. That's a much bigger amount of, that's like a large, right? Two big chaviyot of yayin, two big barrels of wine. That's an expensive item that we're talking about. And because of the issue of the expense, they're looking at it in a different way, which I just think is interesting, right? When it comes to bait, like, okay, you want me to eat in your house, you know, you've invited me five times for Shabbos, I've said no every time, and you're like, enough already, just come eat in my house. That's not like a huge financial commitment. But when you're talking about these other things, that's a big financial commitment, and then you might think that it really was this issue of, you've been giving me a lot of things, I want to give you back, or vice versa. I've been giving you a lot, I expect you to give me. And that those are viewed in a different category than the invitation to a meal, okay, or coming to the house, or whatever it might be. So there's two ways to look at it, okay? Either we say this all just proves all the attempts we tried before to say maybe it's different, to say no, really, they're all nidrei zeiruzin, and really, chachamim disagree about all of them, or to say maybe even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree in those cases that it's not nidrei zeiruzin because we're talking about a much more expensive item, and that shifts the way we view it, which is just an interesting.
If they had not said yet, they're okay. Like if they had not bound,
if they hadn't said Yeter al kein, then
they could have brought this as a reinforcement of what they were trying to prove with the first cases. it would have been much weaker and they wouldn't have been able to reach the conclusion.
If it didn't say Yeter Al Kain, because then it wouldn't connect. Right, the Gemara clearly says it's only because it says Yeter Al Kain that it must mean that they're referring also to the first case. Because otherwise, right, you could try to distinguish. Although I don't know how much you can distinguish between this case and the case in our Mishnah. Because this case is really not much different than the case in our Mishnah. The case in our Mishnah is, right, let's just read it explicitly, it's, right, he wants to get him to eat by him. And this is also, he wants to get him to eat, you know, specific amount. You could say it's different, but, you know, the distinction is minor. Okay, so now we want to know, okay, so my havela. So if, remember, we asked two questions. Number one, does Chachamim disagree? Number two, if they disagree, who do we paskin like? So now we're finally getting to the second answer. It's going to be a little simpler to answer than the first one. Tashma de Amar Rav Huna, come learn from here. Because Amar Rav Huna, halachakar b'lezer ben Yaakov. V'chein Amar Rav Adar Barava, halachakar b'lezer ben Yaakov. Okay? Why they didn't just try to simply prove from there the fact that these Emoraim said the halachas Adar b'lezer ben Yaakov would be obvious then that Chachamim disagreed. Because we always say, you never have to say halacha is like him if nobody disagrees. But I guess they wanted to show it from the Tanaitic sources. And they wanted, it's not just enough to say the Amoraim said it, but they want to know on what basis. Right? So we have to have found some basis, and then we finally found some basis in the Makorot Tanaim that there really is a machloket. Okay, new Mishnah. Nidrei Havai. What are Nidrei Havai? Okay, those are like, we're going to see here two categories. Okay? One is what we call guzma, exaggeration. When you say something totally exaggerated, right? How many times do we say, I swear I this? You know, it just, you exaggerate because you want to say, right? You want to say it in the most exaggerated form possible. And the other is something that can't possibly be true. Okay? And then we just assume that, I don't know, how would you call it? Good way to categorize it. That you write guzma or just like something that's so outlandish that it's clearly not true. Just 1 second. That's a good way. Right. Right, it's like an outright lie. That's how you would say it. It's an outright lie, and it's so clear you're lying that nobody believes you. Right? Like if somebody comes and says to you, and I have a neighbor who, a little girl who makes up stories all the time, she says, yeah, yesterday there was a horse in my house. You know, like, I know there wasn't a horse in her house. Like, it's just, she just exaggerates. You know, she's saying an outright lie, and you know, you say, yeah. Okay. So when someone says that, they know no one's going to believe them, so they clearly don't mean it as a real neder. Okay, so let's see the two cases. Amar, konam im lo ra'iti baderech hazeh ke'olei Mitzrayim. Okay, it will be forbidden to me if I didn't see walking on this path 600,000 people coming by. In other words, right, I clearly saw 600,000 people coming by, and if it's not true, then this will be forbidden to me. Okay, like, obviously you didn't see 600,000 people pass by, that's not realistic. Im lo ra'iti nachash ke'korat beit habad. Okay. The simple pshati, what's the Beit Habad? The Beit Habad is where they would do the olive press. So there was a big stick, okay, maybe Ani can help us with this. There was a big stick that, right, that they would use to press the olives with. Now, the simple pshat seems to mean that they're talking about a really long snake that's as long as the beam of the, you have something to add, Ani?
No, I'm just going to say, in the Shatnasiyah, it talks about it.
Right, so the Gemara on the next daf is going to say it can't be that that's what they mean because there really are such large snakes. Right, we've seen, I mean, I can't imagine the Korat Beit Habad was that big. I mean, I've been in the zoo, I've seen these really long snakes, you know. It could be also, remember, who's saying this in what time period and were there snakes around like that where they were living? You know, who knows? Maybe there really weren't such long snakes. So the other option is to say that it had these like
ridges
in it, okay? Like the Korat Beit Habad also had ridges in it, okay? So I saw the snake with these ridges in its back, okay? Or I don't know if you call it the back of the snake, but okay. So now the first type is an exaggeration, because what was he basically trying to say? I saw a ton of people go by, right? That's, we even say a ton of people, right? What's a ton of people, right? That's... Obviously, we don't generally see a ton of people. Or, if I didn't see Nachash Kekorat Beit Habad, that's already something that doesn't even exist. Okay? So it's an outright lie. So now the Gemara says, Tana, Nidrei Havai Mutarin, Okay, here we have a very big nusach problem. Okay, what's girsa problem? What's the actual text of the Mishnah, of the Gemara here? So I'm going to read the Gemara with the one that makes more sense to me. I'm going to go with the Bach. Okay, if you look at the Bach here, right, is that, oh no, it's not the Bach. It's in the, 1 second. Where's this Aleph go to? The other Gemara I was using, it had a different simun. It goes to, right, you probably also have, where is it?
Here.
I'm struggling here. Oh no, it is the Bach. Sorry,
yeah,
it's the Bach.
One?
Okay, Tana Nidrei Havai Mutarin. Okay, look in what he says. Shvuot Havai Asurin. Okay, no, he says, no. Sorry, he doesn't have that nusach. Oh, it's the Masoret Hashas. That's what it is. Sorry, the Aleph goes to the Masoret Hashas. Okay, so the Masoret Hashas is up at the top there in the inside thing. You see the Aleph?
Yes.
Okay, it says Kashem Shnidrei Havai Mutarin. Kein shvuot havai mutarot. Okay? You see, the text of our Gemara says the exact opposite. Text of our Gemara says, Nidrei havai mutarim, but shvuot havai asurim. Okay? And according to that text, you're going to have a different text to continue. We're going to just read it according to one to keep things simpler. We're going to read it saying, Nidrei havai mutarim, and just, right, kishen, just like Nidrei havai or mutarim, that if you say something like this in the Lashon of a Neder, it's clearly meaningless. Likewise, if you take a shvua in that kind of a way, it's also meaningless, okay? It's not a shvua at all, okay? Whereas the text seems to imply shvuot are different, okay? But the correction of the text says, no, it's really the same. So now they say, hechidam shvuot havai. How do you have a case of a shvuot havai? Ilema, if you want to say, remember, ilema always means if you want to say and they're going to reject it. If you're going to say da'amar shvua im lo ra'iti paderech hazeh, if you want to say, I swear that I didn't see 600,000 people go by, midaim kamar, like that's not a shvua. Like, what do you mean? He said nothing, basically, right? Every day you don't see 600,000 people go by, right? So what does it mean to say, I swear I didn't see 600,000 people go by? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's like a meaningless statement altogether. That can't even possibly be what they're talking about. So Ella Amar Abai explains, Da'amar Shvua Shara'iti. Okay? It's you say, I swear I saw 600,000 people go by. It can't be, I swear I didn't see 600,000 people go by, because that's, you're swearing about something you didn't even see, like, I didn't, it's not like a meaningful statement. So Abai says, it must be, you said, I swore that I saw. So basically, what's the Gemara saying? If you say, I took a neder that I saw 600,000 people, or you say, I swear that I saw 600,000 people, either which way, it doesn't work. Amar le Rava, im ken, lama le lameimar. If that's the case, why do you need to tell us this? Like, it's basically, why would he say lama le lameimar? 1 second. Kamar di'yam, yidi shach be'guzma b'lechud, kai, pshidi shvot nami mutarav. Right, so he's saying, if what the issue is here, if you notice, he only said it about case number one. Remember I said there's case number one and case number two, right? One is exaggeration, right? And two is a lie, right? A blatant lie. So he's saying, why are you saying this just about the exaggeration case, right? In other words, if it's exaggeration, obviously, lama li lameimar, obviously, if you swear in an exaggerated manner, right? How many times do you go, I swear, blah, blah, blah. You don't really mean it. You were just exaggerating, okay? So, that you wouldn't need to say this. V'od, dumia d'neder katane. And what does it say? Remember, I didn't really stress this. The Gemara starts off and says, Tana. There's a Makor Tana'i that says, just like Nidarim or Asurim, also Shvuot. So if you're saying, just like Nidarim, then it would have to apply to both cases. Both to the exaggeration and to the lying, and you only talked about it when it came to the exaggeration. So Rabbi says, right, do me a neder katani, and I'm a kortani, it says it's just like neder, so it should apply to both. Ela Amar Rava, it must be like this. Be'omer, ye'esru peirot ha'olam alai b'shvua, okay, the fruits of the world should be for, right, I swear against eating any fruits, im lo ra'iti baderech hazeh ke'ole mitzrayim. Okay? That's the swear. It's not saying, I swear that I saw, right? Because that generally is just an exaggerated statement. Nobody means anything. It's, I swear I won't eat fruits if I didn't see 600,000 people pass by. In which case, the assumption of the Mefarshim here is that he also means, or you say, I swear off eating fruits if I didn't see a snake that was as long or as, you know, as ridged as the Beit Habad. Okay? So that's what he says. Okay, so now, fine, we'll start with this first question, but this is the Mahalach that's going to continue through tomorrow. Ravina starts to ask Rav Ashi. I'm on the Ravina, the Rav Ashi. V'dilma hai gavra kina d'shum shema nechaza. Maybe the guy saw, maybe he wasn't exaggerating, maybe he saw like a huge infestation of ants coming by. V'asik lahon shema, and he gave them a name, Ole Mitzrayim. V'shapir mishtaba. And he really is serious. He says, I swear I saw 600,000 ants going through there. Okay. Now again, you could say, how does he know exactly there were 600,000? I mean, who's counting? And you know, in general. But anyway, that's the mahalach that we're going to start, that we're going to continue tomorrow about this this lashon of Guzman.
But according to Rabbi, it's not swearing that he did see it. He's swearing that he didn't see it. So it's not in that sense.
No, he's saying the fruits will be forbidden to me if I didn't see this happen. Meaning, I'm allowed to eat fruits if I saw 600,000 people go by. Or I'm allowed to eat fruits if I saw a nachash.
So it's So it's not an exaggeration in the sense where I know there's no way I saw these 600,000 people. So that I'm strengthening. I'm swearing off fruits because there's no way in reality that this.
No. The way they understand it is
because it's not saying I'm not going to eat fruit.
No, because it's a double negative. He's saying, what happens? We're having a conversation, I say, you won't believe, yesterday I saw 600,000 people pass through this city. And you say, what are you talking about? And I say, yeah, I swear, all the fruits of this world will be forbidden to me if I didn't see 600,000 people yesterday come through. So that's called a shvuah havai. Okay? That's a shvuah where clearly I'm exaggerating, and I'm using the shvuah as a way to kind of stress my statement. It's almost like a nidre zeirusin, like a different form of it. I don't really mean it. I'm just trying to say I'm really telling the truth. Okay? Or I'm like making up stories, and I'm saying, I swear I saw the snake that had a ridged back, like the Korah Beit Habad. Where I'm clearly making that up, and therefore we don't even view it as anything, because nobody believes me when I say it. Nobody thinks it's a real statement. Okay? So I clearly didn't mean exactly what I said.